So I have 10:30, and I'm gonna just, as we've got start, call this meeting to order here. I'm gonna go ahead and just, this is Jesse, so I'll see you again, Director of Non-Depository, and I'm gonna go ahead and just start off by saying who's in the, who's present on our side. We have myself, Commissioner Cooper, Assistant Director, Assistant Deputy Commissioner Russell Reese, and Review Examiner Jay Kim, along with General Counsel Catherine Rayer. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Commissioner Cooper.
Okay, thanks, Jesse. So good morning, everyone. Thank y'all for taking time out to do this. It's always appreciated. So I'm gonna go ahead and officially start the meeting, and hopefully as we kind of get into it, we'll have a little bit more, less formal discussion, but for the record, good morning. My name is Charles Cooper, Commissioner of the Texas Department of Banking, and today is Wednesday, May 26, 2021. This meeting by telephone conference call is authorized by Section 154.355 of the Texas Finance Code. At this time, I will call the roll of the Texas Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council members. When I call your name, please say, indicate that you're present. Rebecca Ann Motley?
Present.
Thank you. Amy Biggs?
Present.
Thank you. And Willis Jones?
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum of the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council, and I call this meeting of the council to order. The time is 10:32 a.m. So go ahead and officially say who's here. Department of Banking attending this meeting are Russell Reese, Assistant Deputy Commissioner, Jesse Saucillo, Director of Non-Depository Supervision, Jay Kim, Review Examiner of the Non-Depository Supervision, and Catherine Ryer, who is our General Counsel. So the first item of business are the minutes. And of the May 27th, 2020 meeting, I will point out to y'all that we did, depending on if you printed it out, we do have a change. It's already been changed on the electronic version, but on the printed copy that I printed out yesterday, at the beginning, it's talking about where things are on the audio file, and it says 38.40 on the audio file. That has been changed to 0.03 of the audio file. Nothing else has changed on the minutes. So has everybody had the opportunity to read the minutes?
Yes.
Any comments or before I ask for a motion, anybody have any comments or changes? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the May 27, 2020 Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council meeting?
So moved.
The motion from Mr. Wallace, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, second by Ms. Biggs. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the ayes have it and the motion passes. So thank you for that. And then we'll go to second item on the agenda, item B, discussion and take possible vote to approve the activity of the fund's investment officer report. It's on page 3-13. Jesse?
Yes. Hi, good morning, everybody. So what I'm gonna go over is, again, the guarantee fund activity. The first, this activity covers March 1st, 2020 through February 28th, 2021. First, on the page 3 and 4 is the cover page or the summary of the trust funded activity. You will notice that there were no claims to the guarantee fund during this period, and that's all on the left-hand side of that gray bar. So that's good. No claims there. The other on the right-hand side of that, under the seized funds and restitution payable column, there's what we would consider normal activity there. But I will just point out actually 4 of those items. Items 2, 5, 6, and 17 all relate to Hernandez Funeral Home. This is something, an activity that we did. We actually issued a C&D order, cease and desist order, because during one of our exams, we noted that the funeral home had canceled some contracts without the consumer's consent. So therefore, we took some action. We seized the funds, and we, in this activity, for example, on item number 6, you will notice that's a payment of restitution or funds back to consumers. So that's one of the biggest withdrawals in this time period. 17 is also, as we were collecting restitution from the funeral home, we are also paying it out to the consumers. So really, for the trust funded activity for this period, there was really not much going on, and the other stuff was normal restitution collected from other actions that we're currently administering. So again, on page 3 and 4, is the recap. And on pages 5 through 8, you have the quarterly reports. Now, this is a summary of the activity, and that is provided also to the Texas Finance Commission at our regular meetings. So unless I will open any questions for the activity I just covered on the trust funded side. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Jesse, were you gonna talk more about that email that you sent about transferring
CDs?
Is that where you're gonna be talking about that?
I will be talking about that later in the agenda. Yes, that's item.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you give me a minute, I'll come back to it. It's item.
Okay.
Item D. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'll go on to page 9, and that is the insurance funded activity for the same period. If you remember, we have a trust funded account and also an insurance funded account. This one is the one that's currently still, we're collecting assessments. It hasn't reached $1 million, so we're still, each year, funeral home insurance companies are supposed to pay a dollar assessment for each new contract. Here, there's really hasn't been any activity other than the interest earned and some trustee fees. You will notice there's that assessments collected, $93,000 there in change. But I can give you comparisons. For year end 2020, we collected $68,000. And I'm giving you approximate rounding the numbers here from insurance companies for new contracts, compared to about $75,000 in 2019. So there was a decrease of about $7,000 or approximately 10%. But even then, we still believe in about less than 4 years or so, at $70,000 each year, we'll reach the $1 million mark, which is when we will stop collecting assessments. And on the following 4 pages, that is, again, those quarterly reports that are provided to Finance Commission, and these are recapping the activity per quarter. As you noted, Rebecca, I will also talk about the fact that we did move some money to a CD later on, but they will, each one of these accounts, the quarterly reports on the trust funded and on the insurance funded quarterly report, it shows where the money is deposited. Most of the money is deposited in the Texas Treasury safekeeping, and we do have some CDs. And this information is as of February 28, 2021. there's, like I said, we'll talk about this later as far as the movement of money. For this section, any questions, any comments? Oh, yeah, it's page 9 through 13, the quarterly reports? Yeah, okay. Any questions from the members?
No.
Okay, so there's not any questions. Do I hear a motion to approve the activity of the funds of the investment officer reports for the period March 1, 2020 through February 28 of 21? Is there a motion?
Mr. Wallace, I so move.
Thank you, Wallace. Is there a second? Ms. Bowley, Ms. Biggs, would y'all might like to do a second?
I'll second.
And who was that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
It's Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, like sign? Good. Thank you. The motion carries. So now we go to item C as in Charles.
Go ahead, Jesse. Okay. Jesse, again, I will go over these items. And these items are under pages 14 through... that's page 31, I'm sorry. So pages 14 through 31 cover the administrative memorandum 2016. You will note that we're required to meet annually, and also the administrative memorandum requires us to do an annual review. So that's why each year we provide this to the council for review. This year, there's really not any major changes other than updating the dates. We did make some minor changes, for example, on page 15, where we abbreviated the government code, and that was just mainly to make it consistent with our other administrator memorandum that we have that covers the department also has. And it's just, again, those changes were maybe just mainly to make it consistent. At this point, so pages 15 through 22 is the red line version, and pages 23 to 31 is the final draft version. Again, the main pages on page 14 are the major changes, and that's just updating the dates. Any questions on this item so far? Okay, that was Amy. No.
Anything else, Jesse?
No, I don't have anything else on that unless.
Okay, thank you. So is there a motion to reapprove Administrative Memorandum 2016 as Jesse just presented?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Amy. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Rebecca, thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed, like sign. Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. So we'll go now to item D to talk about the investment strategies.
Okay. Jesse again. So yes, this is the one that Rebecca, I'll follow up on your question. And as you noted, back in May 4th, I sent an email to the council advising everybody that we were looking at moving some funds from the Texas Treasury safekeeping to and adding two new CDs. The purpose for that was that the Treasury was the rates there were very what we considered low, actually pretty much almost at zero. So we went out and looked at our liquidity, considering our liquidity and our needs, and we determined that we could open two new CDs, one for each account, in the amount of $245,000, And obviously, the reason of keeping it under 250 is to ensure FDIC coverage. So we began the process, and as of last week, we were able to move the funds, and we opened two new CDs, one with ABC Bank for an 18-month CD at a rate of 0.73%. With a principal balance of $245,000. We also opened another one with Spring Hill Bank, and that one was a 12-month CD at 0.60% for $245,000 as well. So at the next meetings, for May 31st, yes, that'll be the next quarter, you will see that we will have two new CDs in addition to the ones we have right now. Each year, as the CDs mature, we go out and we do we contact at least 10 banks, try to get the highest rates on the CDs, and we proceed with selecting. We do an internal review and ultimately make a decision on whether to renew the CDs or to do some other investment decisions there. So, Rebecca, to summarize, and Wallace and Amy. We did open two new CDs, one for the insurance-funded account and one for the trust-funded account. Any questions?
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just trying to understand. There's still remaining some money in that Treasury Safekeeping Trust Company. You're not transferring all of it out.
Correct, Rebecca. We did an analysis of the balance at the Texas Treasury. So, for example, with the trust fund, we had a little bit over $600,000. We determined how much of the money was actually due to restitution. Everything that I described earlier on the right-hand side of that bar. Were under the seized and funds collected, we took that out because that's money that's going to have to be paid out. Took it out of the equation. Then we decided how much is the typical claims and so forth, and we left some funds in there. So for example, in the trust funded, we're supposed to have probably about over $300,000. That's as of a month or two. In that account. So yes, the Texas Treasury Safekeeping will have about 250. One will have 250 and the other one's gonna have 321.
This is another silly question, I'm sure, but the banks, how long does this entity work with certain banks? Have you been working with these same banks for a long, long time?
Okay.
Or did you change banks?
So the process is this. When the CD renews, right? Let's say we have a CD with bank A, one of them is ABC. Let's say we have a bank with ABC, CD with bank ABC. When that CD matures, our process is to get basically our one of our financial analysts from the bank and trust side will go out and get the annualized cost of this at least 10 banks. She will give us that information. Then what we do is we contact those banks and try to get the highest rate. So we'll say, you know, bank one, what is your rate for a 12 or 18 month CD? And we'll go down the list on those 10 banks, and then we'll decide at that point what is the highest rate. And then we actually will transfer the funds out to another one, or if the same bank gives us a higher rate, then we keep it at the same one. So it's all depending on what kind of rates we get.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome. Any other questions on this item?
Okay. Thanks, Jesse, and thanks for the questions. Do you want to go to item E?
Yes.
Okay. This is Jay Kim, and I'll go over agenda item E. For collection efforts. This report that starts on page 32 outlines the entities and individuals that are currently paying restitution and penalties relating to prepaid funeral contracts. And this report is also as of February 28th, and again, summarizes what has been paid and the balance is owed. Most of the entities are current, and thankfully, since the previous meeting, we have not had a new entity or an individual required to pay any new restitution. And also, all entities reported from the previous meeting are listed here with outstanding balances. So to start off with the first entry listed on page 32, Kevin Keeney of Hal Dorn Funeral Home in San Saba. This relates to the previous mishandling of PFC funds, and he is still actively paying restitution. The next item on the bottom half of page 32 is Ronald Ritter. And it shows a balance on the penalties of $2,100 as of February. And the good news is that as of this month, May 21, we have received all restitution and penalties from Ritter. So the outstanding balance has been paid off. Moving on to page 33, we have two individuals and entities listed here, Amarillo Funeral Home and Mark Gonzalez of Gonzalez Funeral Home. They both continue to actively pay restitution, and no unusual activities were noted for these two since the last meeting. On the next page, 34, Timothy Gaffney also continues to pay penalties. For Gaffney, back in 12, there was an agreed bankruptcy judgment issued by the AG's office, which required them to pay $2,500 monthly. The judgment indicated that if $200,000 in total is paid by January of 22, the balance would be deemed satisfied. As of February, they've paid roughly $176,000, and at current rate, Gaffney is expected to reach the $200,000 threshold by the end of this calendar year. On the bottom of page 4 is Hernandez Funeral Home that Jesse had discussed earlier. This entity is also actively paying, with no exceptions as of right now. And lastly, on the middle of page 4 is Cresha Lewis Cotton of Clarence Lewis and Son Mortuary out of Conroe. And as you see, they have not made any payments since the issuance of the order back in 19. And they were required to pay restitution and penalty as a result of an illegal PFC sale without a permit. So we did refer this matter to the AG's office back in 19, and since then we've been requesting and obtaining updates from the AG's office as part of our ongoing monitoring. And the most current information is as of March, in which the AG's office states that they're reviewing options to collect on a non-exempt piece of property. So if we do receive some funds, we'll make sure that we forward those funds to the consumer first, and then anything after that will go into paying off the penalty balances. So this concludes my summary of item E for collection efforts. As discussed, you know, we continue to monitor payments on an ongoing basis, and we also get our legal division involved if necessary to ensure that you know, we do everything to collect the outstanding restitution. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
I have one question on the collections for Tim Gaffney. There was an adjustment of $3,800 in between the January and February of 19 entries. Am I missing where that is? I probably should have.
I will. Yes, Amy. That's on. Are you asking about the adjustment that was right before the February 2019 entry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you asking what that is? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. There was actually back then there were Dan Woods. No, the Dan Brothers. The order actually carried was against two individuals, right? So that was part of taking the amount that he had paid in. Because at that point there was no other outstanding balances, so we went ahead and applied it towards this amount as well, towards his.
Okay.
So because it was a joint, I think it was jointly. That's the term that they use in the order. So that's the reason for that adjustment.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Good question. Any other questions?
No.
Okay, thank you, Jay. So then we go to item F, which would, on page 35, it is the certificate that Jesse received for the training he received on the Texas Public Funds Act, so it's required, and so this indicates that Jesse completed that training. So,
for the record. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go to item G and talk about future dates, Jesse.
Yes, so as I mentioned earlier, as we were going over the investment policy, it does require a meeting within 6 months of any legislative changes that may impact the Public Funds Investment Act. At this point, we've been monitoring the bills, and there are none that we believe will result in a meeting, that will require a meeting, basically. So at this point, barring any big claims or any unforeseen issues, our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for a year from now. We are required to meet annually. So at this point, we will put a calendar, tentatively schedule something for May of 2022. We will continue to monitor the legislative session, and if something does happen or a bill is passed that requires us to meet sooner, then we will advise you accordingly. So at this point, we will do one in a year from now. Okay. Any questions, comments?
No.
Okay.
All right. And then we get anything else, Jesse?
Not on the future meeting dates, but I do have something on an update on Rebecca and Amy Biggs' term.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and. So your term, Amy and Rebecca, expires later this year, actually the end of 2021, December 31st, 2021. Rebecca, you have one more. You're eligible for one more, and Amy for two more. So we're hoping as the time, as it gets closer to the end of the year, that you'll be willing to serve another term. Each term is for 2 years. So I'm just giving you kind of an update on that, and if you're willing, then sometime in September, October, I will reach out to you so that we can get that in the Finance Commission, in the December 2021 Finance Commission packet so they can approve it.
Well, I would be honored as long as you put up with my questions.
No,
my silly questions.
No, there's no silly questions.
No, there's certainly not.
That's what I told my kids.
Thank you, Rebecca. How about yourself, Amy?
I would too. Sure.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate your cooperation.
Well, okay, so that goes through the agenda. Just wanted to make sure, does anybody have anything else y'all want to discuss related to the...
Not on the record. I mean, once we conclude, maybe I'll have some.
Okay, so for the record, does anybody have anything else? And then what we'll do after we conclude is that we'll have a little bit of an informal discussion. But for the record, is there any further business?
I have nothing.
Okay. Well, there being no further business, this meeting of the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council is now adjourned, and the time is 10:58. Okay. So when you're ready to turn it off, let me know.
Okay.